Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, Pastor Byron is sharing a message for the church. I trust the Lord uses it to encourage and build you up. And now, this week's message.
Obedience to you, thank you for his generous heart, Lord, and the fact that he's always willing to be humble and to do whatever's needed to honor you and to bless you. So speak through them today and let us hear what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Let us hear what your plans are today. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen. Jerry, is it still just one person that's unknown?
Yes.
Okay. If that one, hopefully that one person is still online there.
Yep.
So whoever you are, last night I had a dream that I was really in a huge warfare, and it was quite the fight, but we fight the good fight of faith. And out of that dream, before I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, a person emerged out of that dream, and I believe it's you, the one that's we don't know who you are, who's tuning in now. Maybe you're going through some difficult times, or maybe there's going to be some times in the future that are going to be very difficult. But I want to let you know the battle is the Lord's, and he's the one that will sustain you and keep you going. And we're just glad you're tuned in today and to our Zoom service. And God has wonderful plans for you to sustain you, strengthen you, make you strong. And hopefully this message will also be a benefit to you also. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Nothing like truth to set us free, is there? A number of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit visited me and shared with me that I'm supposed to share this message. This message is only recorded in the Gospel of John. Only recorded in the Gospel of John. And it's Jesus praying for the current followers of him, and also in the future, us who are following him. So we're going to be looking in that this morning and seeing the reality of that prayer that he prayed. First of all, this prayer occurs right before the chapter of Jesus being arrested. So if we look back at Matthew and see what's written there before Jesus was arrested, it was a scene in Gethsemane. And of course we hear the word, "Your will, not my will." Mark also, before the chapter of Jesus being arrested, we are brought into that scene in Gethsemane, and of course where Jesus said, "Your will, not my will." In Luke also, it says it's the Mount of Olives, where Jesus is laboring over what he needed to accomplish as a Son of God. And in that, not only did he say, "Your will, not my will," but also it says something else there that Mark and Matthew didn't mention. It said an angel of heaven appeared and strengthened him. God has a beautiful place in our lives that no matter what the challenges are, no matter what we face, I think three times over we heard Jesus that accomplished life for us said, "Your will, not my will." Maybe you know, it's mentioned three times. Maybe that's got to be our call out in life when we're in different parts of our lives and different issues of lives, in health issues and financial issues or whatever else, that we would choose his will over our will. So starting off with that, we enter into John's gospel, and that's never mentioned. That part is never mentioned, just in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But before Jesus was arrested, what John mentions is Jesus praying for the generation that was with him, particularly his disciples, and for us. Just before, the verse before chapter 17, it's written there, I have told you these things, because he was sharing with the disciples what was going to occur and what was going to happen, so that you may have peace, and that you will, for in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And then we go into chapter 17, where it says, and Jesus said this, looking up towards heaven. You know, it's amazing. It says he goes in this prayer looking up towards heaven. Look up, church. No matter what we're going through, it's time to look up. Look up towards heaven. Look up to who he is and what he is and what he did for us. Look up. When Jesus was ready to meet the greatest test, I believe, without a doubt, that any of us would ever have to do. When he met that challenge as a Son of God, he first prayed here and looked up to heaven. Looked up. And he said this, and he prayed, and he prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Glorify. We want the glory. You know, it's amazing. As you look up glory, you know, and the problem was in history past, when men sought glory, sometimes they took that another step and thought themselves as deity. Because it's only deity, it's only God that really should be glorified, not men. But men may make that switch, and so all of a sudden they're seeking the glory, they're seeking the glory, they're seeking glory, and all of a sudden something goes haywire in their mind and they think they're God. So he looks up to her and he says, this is the hour, this is the time, this is the place in historical time. Glorify your Son. Glorifying also means it's just where that person becomes a focal point. And of course, Jesus became the focal point of the world when he accomplished what he came to accomplish. He goes on to say, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So he's saying, what he's praying for believers in him, and saying that this is the whole point of why he came, to give glory, to be glorified, that he might give eternal life to all those that were given to him. And what is eternal life? It's this connection between the Son and the Father. The Son would accomplish it, and that we would come to a new realization of who the Father is. The Father who sent the Son to sacrifice himself on our behalf. That we would know the Father, that we would know the Father is a loving Father, that we know the Father is a good Father, that we know the Father was willing to allow his Son to be sacrificed, that we might have unbroken relationship with him. That the Father is no one to run away from, no one to hide from, but he's the go-to person because we know the Son. And he has brought us in this place to to have eternal life. Eternal life. Then it goes on in verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you have given me out of this world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Obeyed the word, yeah. Who is the word? Jesus is the word. He's the word become flesh, dwelling amongst us. And we come into that relationship, unbroken relationship with the Father, because we know that the Word became a man and dwelled amongst us, and the Word hung on the cross, and the Word died for our sins, and the Word rose again from the dead. And we believe that Word of God, who also is Jesus. He is the Word of God personified. And we know Him. And then it goes on to say, I will remain in the world no longer. He already talked about that in chapter 16. But they will still be in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all one. Oneness. And it goes on, what he's saying here, in that prayer, that priestly prayer that Jesus brought to the throne of the Father, he's asking for our protection. He's asking for our protection. If we could ever come to the place of knowing how awesome that protection is, how deep and wide and high, how complete that protection is. We would go through life, even through all the viruses and economic problems and everything else, having a confidence that we have a relationship through Jesus Christ with the Father, and our high priest Jesus is praying for those who initially were there, because this is now he's praying for the disciples and those around him, that they would experience the power of God to sustain them. And he says, and then in verse 13, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that you may have the full measure of my joy within them. Something Jesus is praying there that we need to visually see. You know, sometimes we can read the Gospels and we can see the lashings, we can see the lies spoken over him, we can see the crown of thorns, we can see the nails being pierced in his hands and his feet, and we can see, and that can grow in us a great compassion and some really feelings of, wow, Jesus suffered a lot on my behalf. But he wants to open us our eyes to not only that fact, but it was he experienced joy through it. That's why the scripture would say, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When do you need strength? When we're going through difficult times. Holy Spirit wants to open up our eyes, not only to see the suffering of Jesus, but the joy that he was experiencing for what he was going to accomplish. Amen? So we also, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Knowing full well. In fact, you know, he's sharing this, he's praying this for his disciples. He already knew that all except John were going to go through difficult times and all be martyred. But he wanted them to know that there's a joy in it. There is a joy in suffering. But the only joy that we could ever experience in suffering is the power of God. Living fully and operating within us. Amen? Amen? And then he goes on and says, my prayer is not that you be taken out of the world, but that you be protected from the evil one. So Jesus in this high priestly prayer knew that you and I would go through difficult times. As I was praying for Jenny about having the biopsy, I can relate to that. Oh man, when I had to go have a biopsy and just the unknown, it messes with your mind. I mean, we're human. We fight these things. But God says in His Word, we're to fight the good fight of faith. And we're supposed to pursue that. And that power is available to us. So he says, are you asking for protection from the evil one? And of course, when Paul wrote in the epistles, we fight not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting each other. We're fighting principalities and spirits in the air and all kinds of demonic forces. We're in that battle. It's something, I'm glad we don't feel it every day, but we're in it. And last night I was experiencing it in a big, big way. In fact, it was exhausting, fighting this spiritual battle in my sleep. But he says, Jesus here is calling out for us to have victory over the evil one. Who has given us the victory over the evil one? He has given us victory of the evil one. It's not by self-effort. It's generated and increased by faith in the power of God within us. They are not of the world, neither as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify. Jesus, when he was facing what he had to face to purchase our redemption, he had to set himself apart and say, you know, I know I have all the power. I know I existed before time. I know who I am. But I'm going to set myself apart to do the will of my Father. Not my will, but your will. He's praying that we, as believers, have a heart to set ourselves apart. We're not of this world. He's not of this world. The world didn't love him. Sometimes the world won't love us either. It's just a matter of fact. But it's this place of knowing him and knowing his salvation. In verse 19, for them I sacrifice myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. I sanctified myself. I set myself apart so that you and I can set ourselves apart. We're not part of the world system. Right? We don't want to fall into the world system. We want to be kingdom men and women of God. Then in verse 20, he shifts. Not only did he pray for his disciples, but what we're finding here when he makes a shift, what he prayed for his disciples in those first verses, in chapter 20, when he goes on to pray for you and me, that includes what he prayed for his disciples. Includes it, right? My prayer is not for them alone. Wait a minute. Isn't it wonderful for you and I to know that we have a Jesus that's praying for us? We have a Jesus, I don't believe he stopped praying for us. He saw us in eternity future, saw everything about our lives, and now we're hearing the heart of Jesus saying, I'm praying for Mike, for Kel, for Steve, for Jerry, for Ellie, for Twyla, for me, and all those in the other rooms. My prayer is not for them alone. I am praying also for those who will believe in me because of their message. Wait a minute. You and I carry a message. We carry a message. What are people seeing in you and me? What they ought to be seeing is men and women sold out to Jesus Christ. Men and women that are not shaken when it's shaking time. Men and women that are not afraid when it's fearful times. Men and women that are consumed by this world, but are consumed by the Word of God, Jesus. People will believe when they see Jesus in you and me, when they actually can see Jesus in you and me. I love what Peter said in his epistle. Be ready to give an account to those who will ask you. You know, as we pursue relationship, and Mike was talking this morning to his group about intimacy, when we're in pursuit of that, it will get the attention of people, and they'll come and actually say, you know, what gives in you? How what's different? You know what? That is a level of evangelism that we need displayed on the earth. Men and women of God sold out so much to Him that they'll ask the question, what is it with you? And then we can humbly, like Peter said, it's with great reverence, we say, you know what? One day I gave my life to Jesus. I've never been the same. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you and I in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me, Jesus. You know, what he's praying here for us in the modern church is a oneness with the Father through the Son. That you and I, we're people that have a go-to place. You know, I really have compassion over when I see in the business world, when I see people who don't know Jesus, who and sometimes I wonder when they go through difficult times, their go-to place is oftentimes very destructive. You know, we can name some of them. You know, some of them, when they just feel so weighted down by the world, they go to drugs. When they're so weighted down the world, they go to alcohol. When they're so weighted down, they go to blame. If they can blame enough people for their problems, they feel like they can solve their problems. You and I have a go-to place. Jesus is praying that you and I, Jesus and the Father, will all be one. Just as Jesus and the Father are one. That's mind-boggling. You know, the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, they're the Trinity, and they're all one. And yet, he's praying that we can enter into that relationship of oneness with God, oneness with him. And so then, without a thought in our mind, when I tell Nancy, we're on the way to the doctor, and she says, man, I'm not a doctor, but I think you got shingles, Nancy. And she said, well, maybe it's just impetigo. I said, I think it's shingles. He said, well, you know, we got to get medicine. But Nancy, we have a go-to. We have a go-to. Yes. So I prayed over her that God would heal her, keep her strong. We have a go-to. And even as believers, don't we sometimes we can get short-sighted and go somewhere else than the Father? When Jesus is praying that we would understand this oneness with the Son and the Father and ourselves, and go to Him. Go to Him. He said, come to me, all you are labored, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He's the go-to person. He's a go-to person no matter what the issue. I don't care what the issue of life you and I are facing, we have a go-to. And not only is he a go-to, but Jesus earlier said, you know what? Go to my Father and use my name. And use my name, and whatever you go to the Father in my name, he'll do it. Papa, Father, he'll do it. Because me and the Father are one, and I want you connected with that oneness. Amen? I tell Nancy all the time, you know, guess what? I have the same issues and problems you guys have. We all come up with them, right? Don't we? We come up with the issues of life. We live in this world. And like we said in the earlier verse, in this world you got trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I love to declare to my Heavenly Father when there's things that are out of my control, and humanly speaking, I could try to make an effort to solve them, but very difficult. So I go to my Heavenly Father and I say this, Father, I'm your son. And I thank you, Father, that I am facing an opportunity to see how great you are, how powerful you are, what a provider you are. I'm just thankful that I'm going through this difficult time because now I can discover who you are in the issues of my life. And all of us can discover that. Discover, in other words, just don't cave in over the problems. Go to God and start thanking Him that He is now able to show you really who He is. And really backing up in the scriptures, it's this whole prayer is about the Son saying, you got to know the Father. You got to know what a good Father He is. I want to let you, I'm the Son of God. I want you to know how good the Father is. He sent me so that you can have uninterrupted relationship with Him because I paid the whole price and penalty for you so you can have unbroken relationship with the Father. And know what? He's a good dad. He's a good dad. He's a go-to person. And you go to him and mention my name. And then just let the issues of life just fall off your shoulder. And then in verse 23, in them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. You know, and in the book of Acts, it talks about God shaking a building when the people in the building were in complete unity. And I thank the Lord that we're a church. You know, there's no one I can come here in this church, in this body, and not have common. You know, and that's part of the process of unity, that we think the same way about the Father. We think the same way about the Son. We think the same way about the Holy Spirit. And he says, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to unity. what? Complete unity. You know, and we ought to be praying that as a church, that God keeps us in complete unity. Because that's the way the kingdom is really going to spread, by a group of believers that are united together. In that united thing, I think, you know, I just mentioned about the windows. I put the contract out. We're good to go with the windows. That's amazing. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, that's important. That's important to you and I to know how loved we are. The measure that he wants us to come up to of how much we're loved is the same measure that he declared the Father loved him. We got to get that. We got to dwell on that a little bit. We have to come to that place to know that we're loved the same way the Father loved the Son. The same way. To me, I don't have the words to describe that. The enemy will come to try to steal that truth from you. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I've not done enough. I have a friend that always says, you know, I wish I could be used more. I wish I could be used more. You know what? Just be willing to be used. You know, we come to the Father with a knowledge that he loves us as much as he loves the Son. That's deep. That's deep. But you know what? That's a deep place for all of us to go. To not wake up defeated, not wake up lacking, but wake up complete and full of God's love on our life. That's why in Hebrews it says we can go to the throne of grace with confidence. That confidence comes from the knowledge of what Jesus is praying for us right now, that we would experience the depth of the Father's love for us. Then in verse 26, and I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have in me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. That's exactly what happened to you and I when we first came in a relationship, didn't we? We repented. We said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I've tried to be good enough to be accepted by you, but I failed. And I received the blood sacrifice of Jesus. I receive it. And says that I myself may be in them. What do? We said, I receive you, Jesus. I receive the love of God in my life. I receive it. And then what happened? What happened if that came that place time in our life when we really, our eyes are open to who he is. Our eyes are open of who we're not. And we let the I am. Out there's a picture we just put up in the hallway. Look at it. It's called the I am. And it's a cross with all the phrases of who the I Am is. The I Am came into our life, right? That I myself may be in them. Jesus in us. Back to that. The hope of glory. You know, we're not looking for glory like kings and rulers. We're looking to the hope of glory that came into us when we received Jesus. And our heart's cry should be, Father, glorify yourself in me and in you. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this being documented for us in the book of John, that we have a Jesus that is committed to you. We have a Jesus that's committed to us. Father, raise up our commitment to him. Commitment seems to be a hard thing these days for people to be committed. But we're, you know, nobody wants to be committed to anything. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus is worth being committed to. Commit your ways to him, and he will direct your path. And he will make it straight in Jesus' name. So in hearing this, I kind of shared, if you're listening this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, it's worth it. He came to demonstrate the love of God in your life. He came to forgive you of all your sins. He came to live in you and give you the power to live in this world with all its difficulties. So if you pray this prayer, he will come into your life if you sincerely say, Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and set me free. I want to be known as your son or daughter from now on. And I want to live for you from now on. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, and God bless you.
This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I pray the Lord uses today's message by Pastor Byron to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.